The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, we've got that drop. You know the one. The one about Chewy being right and whatnot. I don't know that he's done anything right now to deserve the drop, but I'm using it as a point of reference because...
Is that the stuff I'm supposed to get?
Yes, sir.
Why are they wearing those funny suits?
Well, they're protective, as you know. That's a very corrosive byproduct they're handling.
Oh, yeah. Because if they didn't wear those suits, those boys would be so full of holes, they'd whistle when they walk.
I was... Gabe, help me out.
Well, it appears that you have your facts wrong, Mr. Gantry. Your company is supposed to get 1,500 gallons. Destination someplace called Belle Isle in Louisiana. Signed for by an officer of your company and due the 23rd.
I believe the word you're searching for is wrong.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, wrong. You are not right.
Like,
you are incorrect.
W in front of wrong, Gabe.
So we're right and you're wrong.
Let me see that. Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. I am not a big man.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count our chair to stack it just like.
Well, it's just you and me again, big guy.
Yep.
And part-time Will, who we can only see the back of his head on the stream.
I don't think I've seen. Have I seen you without a hat? Will?
I've never worn a hat, I don't think.
I didn't know you had so much hair.
Have you ever seen me with a hat?
I'm sure your mother wants you to get a haircut, though.
Yeah, she does.
So do I.
You want him to get a haircut? What do you care if
I don't like the look of these kids today. I mean, has Chase got the big old mop going?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan. No. The buzz cut needs to come back.
Okay.
Why?
Well,
it's cheap.
The buzz cut feels very militant.
Well, they can wear a little longer on top. Doesn't have to be that crazy. But...
High and tight.
Yes. Clean.
Full metal jacket.
Don't have to wash your hair as much. It's all about saving money, Will.
Yeah,
you'll find out one day.
I guess. As someone who is very proud of their own hair, I'm surprised that you would, you know, have these edicts about hair on others. That's a little surprising to me. I'm not going to lie.
Jen, I'm just happy I have hair. Because my four brothers are bald.
Oh.
And very jealous.
They're jealous
very
of your hair,
jealous.
Of your lettuce.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
You know where else we're jealous?
Where?
We got about, I don't know, a foot of snow outside my house. I'm assuming you have none outside of yours.
Well, I kind of wish it was snowing here for my final day of rocks because it was 83 yesterday and humid and losing a lot of fluid. So you can feel for me a little bit, about a half a cup.
Just keep drinking your Mio. Where's the jug? Where's the trough?
I got it right here.
All right,
It's here.
But in addition to the rocks yesterday, I have gathered that the rocks were not the toughest part of your day yesterday. The rocks were tough. But this other situation you found yourself in, a little bit tougher.
So, you know, I did it in the morning. I got a system here. So I do it in the morning, take a break, get lunch, and then come back and do some more. So I go to lunch, and my one son that's down here has been talking up this place. Great, great, great. We have no cousins down here, which me and Justin are going to have a long talk because this place is void of sub shops like that, and they would kill it down here. So they should really move. So I went to the sub shop. It's like the fourth time I've gone, Jen. So I go there, and I'm on my fourth sub, different sub. Here's the deal. The bread is outstanding. Okay?
Okay.
The meat is fresh sliced. They put a lot on. It's great. The sauces are horrible. 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 Which I texted you guys on the text chain yesterday, and I said, rank the importance of a sub. And the three choices are bread, meat, and sauce. Now, I think we all agree that bread is number one. Would you agree?
I think bread is very important. I still think the meat is the most important.
No, the meat is number three. Jen, if you love a meatball sub, am I right?
Love one, yes.
Love a meatball sub. If you have great bread, a great meatball, but the sauce is awful, wrecks the whole sub. Wrecks the whole sub. You can have great bread, really good sauce, and subpar meat. It's still salvageable. If the sauce on a sub is not good and it's bland. See, I went with the one yesterday, Jen, where they thought they were real cool, real bougie. You know what they did? Took a bag of chips, crinkled it up, and put it on the sub, which is fine.
I kind of like that idea.
Which is fine. But the it's like, you know when you try to eat healthy?
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, right? Eating healthy sucks. Would everyone agree with that?
I mean, it's not ideal, right? It's more fun to eat the less healthy things.
Yes.
But it's a necessary evil.
When I go to a sub shop, I want them to bring it. And I'm just saying, if the sauce is not good, it wrecks the whole sub. I'm to the point where I will not go back to this place because I'll give you, I love tuna. Got a tuna sub, right? Bread awesome. A lot of tuna. The tuna is bland as ever. It's like I have COVID. And I can't taste. Just awful. So my ranking is bread, sauce, meat.
Okay, hear me out. Last night I made some chicken sandwiches. Chicken patties, not like the old school patties, but like a Chick-fil-A piece of chicken.
Yeah,
you get it at Costco,
gotcha.
In the bag, you throw it in the air fryer, right? And normally I would do that with a nice, like, a soft bun. You know, like,
yes,
either a hamburger bun or a sesame seed bun.
Brioche.
To mimic the old Chick-fil-A sandwich right at home.
Sure.
We got the Chick-fil-A sauce. We got the pickles. So we can do this, right? Throw a little butter on there. We were out of buns. But we had some French bread sitting on the shelf from a couple of days ago. Not too long. We had meatball subs actually this weekend. So we had a little bit of French bread. So I'm slicing the French bread thinking, oh, this is going to be good. Get it a little a little soft in the microwave. You throw it in with a thing of water. And that bread... no good. Like, the bread was great. And if you dip the French bread in a little olive oil and balsamic vinegar with some Parmesan cheese, mwah, chef's kiss. But the French bread on the chicken sandwich, too hard, messed the whole thing up. And so in that instance, even though the bread was good, the meat was the most important thing of that sandwich.
Here's
so
the problem.
I think it all goes back to the combination. It's all three working in harmony together to create that, like, you know what I mean?
Why didn't you toast the bread? If you have a little bit of a stale piece of bread, which it might probably not as fresh as it was coming out of the oven, toast it up. Then it's luscious. I'm just saying, if you got no sauce like Chick-fil-A, Jen, if their sauce wasn't good and it was the chicken in the bun and then no one would go there. You know?
I think you're overrating the sauces. I think you've had some bad experiences, and maybe this place is not good at figuring out the sauces, but I still think overall the meat is the most important. If the meat is bad, that ruins the whole thing.
Yeah, but meat is bland by itself, right? Except ham. Ham's got some taste. Turkey is bland, and roast beef is bland. It needs something.
But that's why the cheese is important. And I noticed that you've omitted the cheese from this conversation.
Cheese is overrated. There's too many cheeses, number one, and they all taste the same.
That's ridiculous.
Out
of control. Right. Between
provolone and American and cheddar, there's a little variation, but it's not crazy.
No. Okay, so the ham gets the provolone. The roast beef gets the cheddar. What else did you say? I got
American.
American. Yeah, leave your American over there, okay?
Really?
Yeah.
That's my go-to with roast beef.
Oh, cheddar. You got to do a cheddar. A sharp cheddar with roast beef? Oh, it's fantastic.
Jen, you're Italian. An Italian sub?
Italian sub
you
is different.
You can have great...
That's provolone.
Is it?
Provolone.
No. I'm not saying the cheese. I'm saying the sauce. If you're not putting a good, Italian dressing, vinaigrette, whatever you like on Italian sub, if it's terrible, God, I'll never get.
Here's the
thing
I
had the Italian sub at this place. Ton of meat bread, terrible, horrible.
Because the sauce was bad? What sauce were they putting on the Italian? Was it just an oil and vinegar?
It was mostly oil.
Well, then, see, again, there's ratio. The ratio matters. Because, again, if you sauce, I think, a lot of times covers up bad food, right? Like, you can make a bad meal, but if you put a good sauce on it or you got, like, you know, that's why kids love ketchup, right? You put ketchup on everything. That's just how their taste buds have been sort of rewired.
Sure.
I think sauce, if it's done well, can be a cherry on top. I cannot, in any sort of conversation, make it as the most important thing in a sandwich combo. Will, your time to shine. You're eating a sandwich. Rank the things. What's the most important thing? What has to be good in order for the sandwich to be good?
I'm the opposite of you. I think it's the sauce. I think bread, you can get away with having bad bread. You can get away with having mediocre meat, but the sauce can make or break it and make up with the other ingredients that may be lacking, in my opinion.
Sauce could be number one, Jen. Can we pull this somehow?
We'll try. What's the most important ingredient on a sandwich? The bread, the meat, the sauce? Again, the sauce. So let me ask you this, because I'm thinking still sandwiches here. Is mayo a sauce in this equation?
Yeah, it's a condiment, I guess. It's kind of a chicken out condiment.
Mayonnaise, mustard, a sauce in this
chicken
equation?
It's chicken out.
I would consider it a sauce. Like a chipotle mayo, is that considered a sauce, or is that?
You're getting a little more brave. Look, if you want to separate yourself, whether it's a GM, whether it's a quarterback, or you're making subs, you got to take chances. You have to take chances. All I'm saying is this place doesn't take chances. So, Jen, they're starting at this sub shop starts at the 20, drives the ball all the way down to the 10, and then runs it four times and gets stuffs. Take a chance for crying out loud. I will give them one more chance.
Okay.
That's it. I'll try one more sub, and if it doesn't work, I'm off it.
Is there any value in getting the sandwich, because the bread is so good and the meat is decent, bringing it home and saucing it yourself? Is there any value in that?
Jen, I shouldn't have to for $16. For $16, I shouldn't have to do any legwork.
What if you ask for a discount? This feels very Larry David, right?
Should I tell him?
You go in and you say, listen, I didn't order the sauce. That's a third of the sandwich. I should get a third of the price off. I could see you doing that, Larry David.
Yes, but let me tell you what. The owner was there yesterday because he was talking to us. I own the place. I started here in Tampa and stuff like that. Should I tell him?
Should I say,
hey, man, you got it almost nailed, but your sauces are terrible.
Telling the owner of the store that he's just about there, that he could cross the goal line, but he's getting stuffed at the two, feels very Larry David as well.
I think I'm being honest. Because this is a place you would go at least twice a week.
Because let me play this out for you, Chu. He's going to get offended. He might try to ban you from the store. Then you're going to go back. Then he's going to say, what the hell are you doing here? I told you never to come back. And you said, you meant that? I thought you were kidding. Like, I could see this whole thing playing out here, but it's not going to go the way that you want to go. Although, what do you care if you get banned from a place that has crappy sauce?
Yeah. So you're saying most people are like Josh and Gabe. Soft. Just soft.
Is that because they're not here again today?
I mean, questionable? You were questionable last week. Questionable again? What are we
doing? Well, no, now they're out. This isn't questionable anymore, buddy. They're out.
Yeah, you know what this is? This is Jair playing eight plays against the Bears and be like, oh, no, take me out. Sore throat. Come on, Gabe. What are we doing? I understand you play baseball, Gabe. I understand that. I get it. But come on. You've been hanging out with me for what? Long time now. Thought a little bit might rub off.
All right,
that's
folks.
All I'm saying.
We got lots of folks weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Chef Ed. There's chef in his name, Chew. He says
yes,
it goes
I know.
Bread, meat, and then sauce. Also, there are so many good cheeses. You can't beat a good sharp cheddar, a Swiss, or even a pepper jack. I am all aboard the pepper jack train, guys. I love pepper jack.
That's terrible.
Oh, I've been shaving it into my omelets, Chew.
I'm with you on that. Pepper jack is the best cheese.
So off pepper jack.
Oh, it elevates everything. Just that little bit of spice, that little bit of pepper.
It just looks like olive loaf or beef loaf or a pimento loaf.
Not when you shave it, though, obviously.
That olive loaf. I'm out on pepper jack.
Let's see. Brandon in the 920 says this. Chewy, this is sub-arrogance.
That's another one. You got to put it on the list.
Well, we would, but Gabe isn't here.
Yes. I just like holding people to my standard.
Mm-hmm.
My
mm-hmm.
standard's very high, except mm-hmm. for this show.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with everything that you said there.
Okay.
All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. We got Jason Wilde coming up next. Want to talk about the situation with the Green Bay Packers. I know that we've talked a lot about Devontae Adams. I know we have talked a lot about the defensive end position. Are we ignoring cornerback? You mentioned Jair. Is that something we need to be talking about more with this Green Bay Packers team? Plus, did you see the story of the father who assaulted the referees in his kid's youth hockey game? You heard that correctly. Wait till you hear the new breaking news in that story. That and more all coming up this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Jason, before we get down to brass tacks, Chewy has made a declaration that I need you to weigh in on.
Oh, no.
No, it's a good one, Jason.
He is ranking the ingredients of sandwiches. So I think that the meat is the most important thing. If the meat is bad or the main ingredient is bad, sandwich has no chance. Chewy thinks it's the bread, but he also is campaigning for the sauce or the condiment or whatever that looks like for your sandwich. Oh. What say you, if you had to rank these ingredients, the main, the bread, the condiments, and I keep saying the cheese is important. Chewy has dismissed the cheese outright, but how would you rank those ingredients when building the perfect sandwich?
This is amazing because I get to both agree and disagree with Chewy at the same time, which I don't know if I've ever done that before. There's been plenty of times where I've disagreed with him, and then occasions where I've agreed with him, but now I get to do both because, as the great American orator, I believe it was Vincent Price, when he was doing the commercials for them in my youth growing up in Milwaukee, as Cousins has taught us, better bread, better subs, cousin subs.
Yes.
It is unquestionably bread number one.
It's what I said.
Not even close. Yes. Yeah. Now where you screwed up there, big fella. I don't put condiments on my sandwiches. I don't want mayo. I don't want ranch. I don't want mustard. I don't want any of that. One of my biggest pet peeves in my life, which is an indicator of what a great life I've been fortunate enough to lead, is when a group, like when Sydney has a volleyball tournament or Maddie is in a gymnastics meet and they have pre-made sandwiches at the concession stand and they have mayo on them. Mayo condiment packages, very easy to have in a little bucket. Don't put the mayo on the sandwich. Not everyone likes the sandwich. And by the way, Lambeau Field, sports writers should not complain about free food, but I'm going to. Don't put mayo on your sandwiches. Just have a little area of mayo packets. Now, Jennifer, first of all, I would have pegged you for some sort of vegetarian, given how healthy you are.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're detoxing in your sauna that I just heard. I know you have that little bottle of, I'm sure, delicious tasting, whatever that is, with cayenne pepper and
ginger
juice or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever that is. So I live with two vegetarians and one chicken tendertarian. Sydney, that's the only meat she eats are chicken tenders. So I am the only one who's a meat eater on my sandwiches. And you're right. If you get a bad batch of that, it's game over. But I think the bread is the crucial piece, and you can deal with a B-plus meat or a B-plus cheese. But if you get like a dried out bread or a crumbly, gross bread or a soggy bread,
yeah,
I'm sorry, it's game over on your sandwich.
I just don't think there's that much variance in the bread, you guys.
Oh, there's huge.
Yeah,
I forgot that.
Here, man.
I forgot that about Jason. But Jason, I'm going to tell you something here, and we both know the place, and I have never had a sub in my life that was better, because I love tuna, than Sammy's. But the thing,
wait, the pizza place?
Yes, Sammy's tuna sub.
You got a sandwich at a pizza place?
Yeah,
Jason,
you lost me there.
This tuna sub is toasted, and what they do is they put Italian dressing on it, and it separates from everyone else. I have never had a tuna sub like that. Sammy's is the best. Every time I go up there, which is not very often, I stop in there and get it. But it's the Italian dressing on the tuna that makes it special. That's all I'm saying.
Are you coming for the draft?
I don't know yet. We're kind of negotiating that out. And
all right.
The
well,
station,
about,
I can say I, this, the station is not winning right now.
Jason's about to sweeten the pot.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth, Jed. I will take you to Sammy's, and I will try – no Italian dressing because I don't want condiments on my sandwich.
Okay.
But I will take you to Sammy's. I will treat to your tuna sub at a pizza joint if you come up for the draft.
All right, that might sweeten the deal. That might sweeten the deal. I love Jason.
That's a no. I got more work to do. All right.
Might get it done.
All right, question, Jason. We all know about cornerback, defensive end, and receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this offensive line deep enough?
No.
I mean, from what we saw in that playoff game, those guys are not good. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, for a team to make it through the entire, almost the entire season with the same five is unheard of. Would you say that's number four spot that needs to be reloaded?
Undeniably. So I'm really glad you brought this up, because I was going to ask Tausch about it today on our show too. So this is a perfect kind of get my thoughts in order opportunity here, which you guys are great about for me, by the way. So first of all, in fairness to Travis Glover and, as I like to call him, Telly Monster, Kadeem Telfort, those guys played like a combined 20 snaps all year. Right. And now they're thrown into a playoff game against the defensive front, which, as we saw for the Kansas City Chiefs, is the best in the league. Right. So the fact that they weren't good enough, not overly surprising. But the Packers lived on the edge all year long once they had to shut down Jordan Morgan because of his shoulder injury and needing surgery. First round pick. And look, you did it, right? You played with John Michaels as a rookie. He clearly wasn't good enough. I think he's going on the tailgate tour, if I saw that. I'd love to catch up with him, because he was such a nice guy.
He's a doctor now, Jason. Did you?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
I did know that. Hopefully a proctologist. No, so the ass man. So I think that exposed their lack of depth after Jordan Morgan went down and had surgery. But the fact of the matter is that was lurking beneath the surface the entire time. And to your point that you just made, I remember the 2014 season, which, you know, there's a million reasons why it's disappointing that they didn't get to the Super Bowl that year. But one of them was how incredibly healthy they were. If you remember that season, and Brian Bulaga can attest to this, they had one starter on the offensive line miss one game. That was Bulaga in week two after they opened and got their tails kicked in Seattle. And then in week two, he missed the Jets game. And then their starting five, the whole group, right? Lindsley at center, mm-hmm. and Bakhtiari, and the whole gang, started and finished every game. And when you have that and you don't take advantage of it to go to a Super Bowl, because that is incredibly rare. There have been seasons under LaFleur where they started like 13 different offensive line combinations. And they didn't have to do that this year. But the game to end the season exposed their lack of depth and how unprepared the guys that were the backups. And this is where Bruce Wilkerson comes into relevance, is having those type of offensive linemen who, yes, they're older, but you don't want them to be playing 14 games, right? You want them to play three games when a guy's out with an MCL. And they just, that is not something that Goody believes in. Do they win that game if they have a suitable sixth man to go in for Elgton Jenkins? I don't know. It was 16-10 in the fourth quarter, and they had turned the ball over three of the four times they would do it in that game. It's in spite of the fact that they could not stop the Eagles' defensive line. So, again, games come down to so many different things, but that is undeniably one of them. And I shouldn't call it a sneaky need because it ain't sneaky. It's there.
Jason, there's an article that came out on ESPN.com yesterday sort of saying where each team ranks on these tiers. Green Bay Packers were seventh overall on these tiers, and their tier was need a postseason breakthrough. I don't think any of us disagree with that, the idea of going out and getting a player to amplify and add to either side of the ball. But I'm going to tell you what jumped out to me as I'm looking over it. We made a lot of the Packers age this past year. We made a lot of them being the youngest team in the league for the second year in a row. According to this ESPN.com article, the average age of the roster was 25.5. So I said, let me see how that compares to the other teams that finished ahead of the Packers or that they are projecting to be ahead of the Packers. 26.5 for the Detroit Lions, 27.1 for the Bills, 26.8 for the Baltimore Ravens, 26.6 for the Philadelphia Eagles, and 26.4 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Why does it feel like 1 year average is not that big of a gap? Why did I in my mind think that they were so significantly younger than all of these other teams and that that was a justifiable explanation for some of their struggles when 1 year is separating them from the teams that finished the season ahead of them?
Yeah, because it's a crappy metric. It's a fun metric and it's fun to say, right? But as Aaliyah taught us many years ago, RIP, age ain't nothing but a number.
Thank you.
Right? And Goody even said that in his postseason press conference. And I would argue this. It's not so much, I would love, and I don't frankly have time right now to do this, but I would love for ESPN Analytics to go through and do it based on average number of starts or based on snaps played. Because as Goody pointed out, they may be young, but they're not inexperienced. Like, they have played all these guys so stinking much, other than obviously Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford. But, like, all these guys have played a you-know-what load of snaps. Like, that 2022 class, think about that draft class. They just finished their third NFL seasons. Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson before the ACL injury, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, those guys are all full-time starters for you. So let's not pretend that after three NFL seasons, it doesn't matter that those guys are 23 or 24, right? They are full-fledged NFL players. And one of the arguments to be made about that class and the 2023 class for sure, especially Wicks and Reed, although I would argue that Wicks, after dropping them like it's hot, if I'm going to keep bringing up 80s and 90s music, I thought he really leveled out in the second half of the season and was pretty good, where Reed kept dropping balls and never seemed to regain his footing after that, you know, mid-season being forgotten in the offense. But, like, that group didn't make that. Chewy knows this better than anyone. The year two jump is real. And that group has to make a bigger jump, and it didn't. And now they've got to make a year three jump. And the rookie class from last year, we're excited about Evan Williams. We're excited about Edgerrin Cooper. We're excited about Javon Bullard, all those guys on defense. Those guys need to make a big jump because the age is a factor. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not nearly as big of a factor as trotting out they're the youngest team in the league 2 years running, because all it takes is keeping three guys that are, you know, 33 and 34. Like, add Devontae to this team, and that is going to change the math, right? Add a veteran tackle, and those are only two players, but that's why it's so important, and I think that's why the stat, if you look at it through that lens, means something. Because to me, it doesn't just say, hey, they got a lot of young players on the team. It also says to me, they don't have veterans who are driving up that age average by being critical backups who get you through a couple games when you're missing a key piece.
Jason, if they're going to cut or trade Jair, when will that happen? Is there a bonus involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. I haven't looked at his contract lately. I haven't been thinking about him, but I definitely need to. I don't think that there is a, like, we got to do it by this date bonus, but I'll look that up and I'll text Jen to confirm it. But look, he's, you know, I just think the behavior that we have seen from players would indicate to me that they all know that he's gone too, right? I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, who was one of Jair's best friends on the team, saying that he's ready to be CB1. If there was any question about him coming back when one of his best friends is laying claim to his job, I think that tells you that it's a pretty foregone conclusion.
Jason, I could talk to you for another hour if they allowed me to, but alas, they do not. Have a great one. We'll all be listening to Wilde and Tausch this afternoon to hear your brilliant insights.
Phrases Paula has never said for 200, Alex. all right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch and a myriad of other programs right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, we'll take a break. Sounds like Jason and Chu are in alignment on this whole sandwich debacle. Wonderful. What say you? We put it on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Go ahead and rank those ingredients for the sandwich. Bread, meat, condiments. How do they rank? Chewy is saying the sauce is more important than the meat. Wow. And we have Marty Ronsky coming up in the second hour of the show to talk about your Milwaukee Brewers. So much stuff to get to today. Stick around.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
I'm sure there are many of you guys who listen to our friend Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike before Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. This is a tough one for me, guys. So, Evan, Will, please remind me, where was Evan when he said this?
It was on Unsportsmanlike yesterday morning.
It's wild. I think this is a wild take. So let's take a listen. Chu, I don't know if you've heard this sound from Evan Cohen yesterday. He's talking about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, who we still don't know where he will be. Aaron Rodgers, who we discussed yesterday, could potentially be starting for the Steelers when they allegedly play the Green Bay Packers in Ireland this fall, which to me would be very intriguing, adds just another layer to that whole dynamic. But could also be on the Minnesota Vikings, could also play in the division and be captaining that team. Here's what Evan Cohen said yesterday about quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
I don't consider Aaron Rodgers, he's not a loser. I don't look at him, when I think of Aaron Rodgers, winning is not the first thing that comes to my mind.
Really? I mean, he won a Super Bowl.
I understand that.
That's a wild card.
No, he's a first ballot, unanimous Hall of Famer. If you don't vote Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame, that's a major problem. He is phenomenal at his job. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live. When I think of winner, it's almost overachieving a little bit. Like, Jalen Hurts to me is a winner. Tom Brady's a winner. These are people that I look at and I say, there's no justification for them to have won as much as they've won. When I think of Aaron Rodgers, I think of a talent more than a winner.
Chew, are you picking up the nuance that Evan is putting down there?
Yes, I am. You know what, though? I thought he's a little bit like he could maybe say the same thing for Peyton Manning. Because when Peyton Manning won that Super Bowl in Denver, he was not very good.
Sure, he was bolstered by their defense.
Yeah, I know he's got two, but I see where Evan's going. Is he a choker? I mean, the table was set. The table was set. He was just bringing the meal over to the table and tripped and fell and wrecked the whole meal.
Are we talking about Manning here or Rodgers?
No, I'm talking about Rodgers.
Okay, so Manning's career regular season winning percentage was 70.2. Rodgers' career record, 63.1. I'm guessing Rodgers is including the playoffs there. I'm not exactly sure why the number that popped up when I Googled it was only for regular season, because obviously the postseason is what matters. But Manning's postseason record was 14-13. Manning was named MVP of the Super Bowl, obviously. Aaron Rodgers was also. Manning won two Super Bowls. Rodgers won the one. If you had to pick between the two, Manning is probably the easy pick for winner if you had to pick between those two. But I got to be honest with you guys. I think this is way, way too nuanced. One, did Aaron Rodgers win a lot of games? Yes. Did Aaron Rodgers play a major role in many of those wins? Yes. Could you make the argument that at times, Chu, Aaron Rodgers was the only reason why Packers won some games? I would also say yes. It would be very hard for me. And I think, again, the nuance that Evan is delivering there is it's not the first thing that pops into his mind when he thinks of Aaron Rodgers. But I can't imagine a world where you don't look at Aaron Rodgers and eventually land on winner as an adjective to describe him, as a noun to describe him. So that's why I'm having a tough time with this.
No, he's a winner, but he underachieved. Like I said, the table was set. They should have won in Seattle in that NFC Championship game. They didn't. Look, if we're going to give all the credit to the quarterbacks, and you just said it, Manning won an MVP, I really don't care about it. Super Bowl MVPs. To me, that means nothing. There's 22 guys on the field. A regular season MVP is a little bit different. But should have won that. I mean, they were set up. Tampa Bay at home against Tampa Bay at home in the NFC Championship game. They choked. He didn't play great. And then the year they lost to San Francisco, I remember doing those power rankings and sitting there going before the playoffs started, there's Green Bay and then a gap. Well, you choked there too, you know? I mean, I look back, I sit there and go, who had a better career? You know, I know stats are important. Who had a better career, Brett or Aaron? Is it four MVPs? Rodgers have four? 4-3, right? And
yep.
Then Brett went to two and then lost one. Rodgers went to one, won one. And I think if you put the players Aaron played with and the players that Brett played with offensively, I think Aaron had better players. So I see where Evan's going. I see where he's going. You can't call him a loser. I mean, he's a winner, but at the end of the day, I think he underachieved.
So again, going back to when you think of Aaron Rodgers and take the stuff, the peripheral stuff, the behavioral stuff, the personality stuff out of the equation right now, because I do think that for many people, that is the first thing that pops into their head, and I don't want that to be the conversation right here. Strictly what you've seen on the field from him. Competitor, right?
Yes.
Cerebral.
Yes.
Talented.
Yes.
Like these are all high achiever. These are all things that come to mind for me. And that doesn't mean that, again, I don't consider him a winner, but those are the first adjectives, descriptors that come to mind for me for Aaron Rodgers.
But Jen, what's an extremely important one that you're leaving out?
Tell me.
Leader. Is he a great leader?
Yeah, I have struggled. I have struggled with that over the years. I think everybody has good moments and bad moments. I think that there are times where someone leads, and with retrospect, you know, hindsight, if you will, you go, man, I could have handled that better. I could have handled that differently. And it's tough for me. I know you're a sum of the parts. I get it. Like, you know, it's all of it that creates the tapestry. But there's a part of me that also doesn't want to just, like, crush him for not knowing in the moment how to handle those high-pressure situations, right? Do we think that he erred at times with dealing with younger players? Absolutely. Did he try to correct that when he went to New York? It sounds like it. You know, and like all I can ask from people, and I say this all the time regarding athletes and otherwise, is to learn from the mistakes that you make. And it looked like, or at least it seemed like, Aaron may have learned from some of the mistakes he made, applicable to leadership specifically, when he went to New York. I felt like he tried to do it differently.
But he had the blueprint. Brett didn't have the blueprint. Mike Sherman wrecked Brett. Because Mike Sherman was more in awe of Brett than anything and didn't rein him in. And that's why Brett went south towards the end of his career. Because he didn't have a Holmgren there to say, what? I mean, I can't even imagine, and you've heard the story before, when Brett, I mean, it is funny, when Brett leaves a preseason game before the thing is over, and he gets home and he sees that the game is on TV, Holmgren would have lost his mind. Mike Sherman said, hey, you can't do that. Oh, really? You can't do that? Has his own locker room. So there was no one there to rein him in. And I'll even go as far as to say, when Brett lost his father, he lost a little bit of that too. He went astray. And Brett would probably admit that. You know, my thing with Aaron from a leadership standpoint, you had the blueprint. You saw what not to do. You know, you saw what not to do and you did it anyways. I can't remember. When did the train go off the tracks with him?
With Rodgers?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can pinpoint one moment.
There isn't?
Again, Chew, so I can't even think now at this point. I have to do the math, and we know that's not my strong suit. When I was covering Rodgers in Green Bay, I saw cracks in the facade. I have said this. When I went from covering Milwaukee sports to covering Chicago sports to then big ESPN in 2015, I was already out on the guy. I was already like, nah, I don't like it. I've seen him treat people poorly. I've seen interactions that maybe other people haven't seen. I was already like, something's awry. Something's amiss. And it all ain't great. And I feel like, you know, over the last, whatever, decade or so, more people have said, okay, yeah, it's not all great.
Well, it went awry with Brett from the start. When you come in and meet Brett in the kitchen or training room or the training table that they have there, and your first introduction to Brett is you say, hey, old man, how are you doing? You don't do that.
Oh, you're now, talking about, Brett, yeah.
Yeah. Is Brett a little overly sensitive there? Yeah, but you don't do that. You don't do that.
Yeah.
And there's some other things that I know that happened that I mean, it's a good story. I'm not going to.
I will say this also. And again, it's crazy because I find myself in this position right now where I'm defending Aaron Rodgers, and who would have thunk it? But I also think it's tough to go into that type of environment, want to create a rapport, know that y'all kind of jabbed each other and joshed each other and made cracks and whatnot, and thinking that's the way to, you know, develop a chemistry. That's the way to sort of be one of the guys, but then say just exactly the wrong thing.
Well, you know what the hell with it? I'm going to say it because I don't really care. And
can you hold on to it until after the break?
Yeah.
Can you hold on to your story?
And this will explain a lot.
You said you weren't
going to
tell, but
it'll
now you are going to tell. You're going to tell it after the break.
What the hell?
We're going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Chewy's going to tell the story that he knows he shouldn't tell, but what the hell? All right, Chew. We've got Marty Ronsky from the Brewers coming up at 8 o'clock, so if you have a story you want to tell, now is the time.
Okay, this is kind of where it all went south. So this was like Aaron's rookie year or second year, whenever Craig Knoll was the third quarterback. And let me, I love Craig Knoll. Okay, met him one time. Great guy, real guy, Brett type of guy. I know he's from down south, big hunter. Great dude. Great dude. So we all know Brett likes to play jokes, right? I mean, I've had Gatorade buckets dumped on me when I'm trying to back one out, and I've had Red Hot in the jock. That's just what Brett does. So whatever year this is, it's towards the end of the season, and Brett decides to take doe pee, as in deer doe pee, which hunters spray on their boots to hide the human scent when they go hunting in the woods. It stinks, right? It stinks, but it takes a little while to smell it. So Brett takes doe pee and puts it all over the back of Rodgers' practice jersey, right? A good one, typical Brett Favre joke. So Aaron, in a rush, goes down, grabs his shirt, puts it on, can't do anything. The thing stinks. He's kind of pouting because he's, you know, the butt of the joke. So he has to suffer through practice, not talking to anyone, blah, blah, blah. So Aaron goes up to Ted Thompson, tells what happens, essentially tattling on Brett and Craig Knoll because they're laughing it up and stuff like that. So Ted Thompson calls Craig Knoll into his office upstairs and says, if you ever do something like that ever again to one of the, to Aaron, I will cut you so fast and you'll be gone. So obviously Craig goes down and tells Brett, I have no respect for you. None. It's just what football players do. It's just part of it. That's when it went south. That's when it went south.
Between the two guys.
Not only between Craig and Aaron, but Craig was Brett's best buddy. He was kind of like same area town. And that's where it went south. You know, went and tattled on him. It's just, that's a code thing again. Another code thing. I'm just saying, that's a code thing. You don't run up to the GM and he's picking on me type of stuff in a football locker room. Might bother some people. I would look at the guy in a different light now. And a lot of guys did.
Well, Chewy, we're glad you told the story. A what the hell moment here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Marty Ronsky from the Milwaukee Brewers coming up next, encouraging everybody to get out and purchase their tickets for the MLB season. Stick around.